Hello again, and welcome to another episode of Quick Question with Soren and Daniel. This is the show where two professional comedy writers and amateur best friends get together once a week to answer life's most medium questions. Like, hey, what's going on with CBS's hit show, The Medium? Soren, your thoughts?
What is going on with The Medium? Are they bringing it back?
Nah, it's still canceled.
All right, well, it's good talking to you.
She's still dead. The show ended with her being dead, so it's like not a big deal. But anyway, my name is Daniel O'Brien, and I am joined, as always and forever, by Soren Bowie, my best friend from Los Angeles, California. That's the other voice that you hear. How's it going, Soren?
Hey, things are going pretty good here. And also, you'll hear occasionally from our CFO, Bacon, or
no,
AKA
no,
Michael
you know,
Sport.
You know what I want to hear about right now? I want to know how Bacon is doing. I want Bacon to talk for a little while.
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. I just started recording last week, actually, our spinoff podcast. It's a What's Biting in Brooklyn, deep sea fishing podcast about it's Dan, you wouldn't know anything about it.
No, yeah. So, that's why I'm asking, because I'm so ignorant. So why don't you tell me what is biting in Brooklyn right now, Bacon?
New York is an island. So it's got saltwater fish typically.
Sure.
So there's a lot of it's like swordfish and marlin.
Wow, swordfish!
Just jumping into your boat.
A lot of big,
the Brooklyn Bridge.
Big nosed fish is traditionally, but that's off the coast of the eastern seaboard of New York.
This is going great.
No, that's great. Yeah,
there's quite a bit of vermilion red snapper.
Truly, here's the thing, because we've had listeners who have commented about like, it's Soren and Daniel and some other guy, and I've since I've known Bacon, have thought this is a guy who's like prime spot for internet boyfriend. Like, he is a handsome guy. He's a sweet guy. He's talented. He plays music. And he sings, and he makes jam. He's one of the best guys I've ever met in my entire life, and I just think more people should know him and know about him. And I would like to give him space to talk about himself.
Thanks, Dan. That's really nice of you to say that. I really am genuinely touched by that. I can tell you, well, one of the big things that I just did is I just became a homeowner. 1 week ago.
Really?
I did.
You bought a house.
I did. I bought a house in Los Angeles.
Big deal. I have a
house. Oh my gosh.
Soren was actually my homeowner guru. I had a moment of uncertainty about where we were living, and Soren sat afterwards with me for a bit and really kind of talked me through the process, and we're moving to similar neighborhoods pretty close by to each other. And he really like walked me through. He gave me like a real bolt of confidence. So I'm
did
really
you, like I don't I'm so foreign to the house buying process. Do you like what are the
it's truly awful
that you that go into it? Like is it separate from I like this house? What other things go into your deciding process?
It's like neighborhood and if you can walk around. Soren brought up a good point. He obviously has a son, so he talked about schools, but I didn't know that like schools affect also your even if you don't have children, schools affect your property value too. But I think that the biggest thing is that like you don't it's a very foreign process, and you're not, I feel like a lot of other things like with like your personal finance and taking out credit cards and stuff like that, they don't really teach you anything about it in school. And so the only way that you can really learn about it is, by asking, your friends that have done it before. And so that was good, but it's a very scary process. It's very like getting older process, and you feel old.
It's terrifying, especially in LA, or I'm sure in New York too, but if you're going to buy a house here, you go and you see it once. and guaranteed by the time that, you know, they can, they're accepting bids, they're going to have 9 or 10. So like you have, you get to see it once and you're like, well, you put a bid in, put a bid in. And then you don't even, you don't know anything about the house yet.
Yeah. And everyone. So one of the crazy things that I had to verify with Soren, actually, just cause I couldn't believe it, was that basically everybody is working in their own best interest, except for, and you're funding all of it. So it's all of your money that you've given, all of it. It's all the money you have. And you're funding everyone's transaction on this. But they've set it up in such a way that everybody's incentivized to just close the deal. They're not incentivized to like take care of you or do good stuff for you, which is a wild way to set it up. It doesn't seem like the right way. I think that's yeah. why there's so many problems sometimes with it.
But I wanna celebrate bacon some other ways. Are you still doing Boys and Girls Club? You're still doing that? Big brother.
My little brother moved away, actually, was a little bit of a bummer. But I think he moved away to a pretty cool place. I
haven't. It's a farm upstate.
That's nice. I just want to celebrate bacon as a tremendous person.
I really appreciate that, Dan.
And love.
One of the bummers about outside of like the part of him moving away that was sad. So one of the things that we would do is we would go see matinee movies a lot. And it was always movies that like, no one wanted to go with me to see them. They were like more like children's movies. And I didn't really feel comfortable going to them alone, but I was still interested in like the content of the movie. And I could also go during work hours sometimes, and nobody will ever tell you not to go to take your Boys and Girls Club little brother to a movie in the middle of the day. Nobody at work ever complains about that.
What is a movie that recently that you would have gone with him that you haven't been able to, that you miss?
I think I'm talking about like they're like the Despicable Me's of the world. It's mostly like,
oh, really?
Yeah, it's like mostly like cartoon content that like you want to check out. I remember I saw with him one of the Transformer movies that was like absolutely terrible, but I like genuinely enjoy all of those things. They're like big nostalgia trips for me. I like call my brother afterwards and talk to him about them. So that stuff that's like generally probably pretty trash or made for children that I still enjoy. I feel weird going to that movie alone and nobody will go with me. Dan, move back to Los Angeles.
No, that's the weird thing is that like I truly would not go to those movies with you because I prefer to go to movies alone.
That's
my standard thing is I would love to go to movies alone, and I go to movies alone all the time. I went to a couple of movies with Soren.
Soren doesn't even go to movies.
Not anymore.
It's like not a part of his personality.
But yeah, Dan and I went to a few movies.
We saw the first Paranormal Activity together.
Yeah.
In the middle of the day, and we were both a little tipsy.
Yeah. In fact, most of the movies we saw were a little
very
tipsy.
Very nice experience.
Are you guys... That movie was so scary. I had a hard time watching that movie.
Yeah, it was terrifying. But we had a good time. We also went and saw... Glee Club? No, what the fuck?
No, we saw Pitch Perfect.
Pitch Perfect. We went and saw that Glee Club movie. The good one with the young girl who looks like a mouse. We went and saw White House Down together.
We did?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah, man. We went to Pink Taco first, and then we went and saw White House Down. And Mundy came with us.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That sounds more realistic. I generally don't want to see movies with people because I want to see movies when I want to see movies. And you can't like plan a thing around that. It's just like I've decided it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon and I want to see a movie. And so I do it.
That sounds like heaven. You just... At any given moment, you decide, I want to see a movie, and you'll just go and see what the most recent thing playing is?
Yeah, yeah. I went to go see Rocket Man at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and it was so good because I was alone. and I was doing what I wanted to do.
Now, do you do the dine-in theater experience?
No, I don't want to eat. I don't want to eat when I'm watching a movie. I really, really want to just like be consumed by the giant screen that is sure. just like shooting images and sounds at me.
Yeah, you got a lot of emotions to digest instead.
Yeah. Anyway, this show is called Quick Question.
Yeah, into the formula, onto the meat, ladies and gentlemen.
And you guys are our audience. You are, as always, Questly Quick. That's a game.
Yes. Yeah.
Is that a thing that works?
I think if you would have gone with Strawberry Questly Quick, it would have...
Nope. Too late.
Okay.
We're going to talk about a lot of stuff. We're going to ask each other questions and surprise each other with a couple of questions. But before that, I want to get into a review from someone named Alex Waterfield, who gave us 5 stars and said, Quick question with Soren Daniel has saved my marriage. Should not have, right?
Wait, he doesn't elaborate? That's just the end of it?
No, that's it.
Wow. Well, I mean, I guess...
dig into your memory banks. How could we have saved anyone's marriage?
Very little relationship advice that's useful on this show.
No. show.
Especially for somebody that's married.
Man, I don't know what we could have possibly done. We're not offering any sort of therapy.
No, nothing that we've ever done has been useful.
Well, all right. That's nice of him
but
to at
I
least
appreciate
say.
That review. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
We're going to get into it right now, and we're going to ask each other some questions. I have a hey, Soren, quick question.
Go ahead.
Did you ever have a nickname?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Because you have a name that is objectively cool. Soren is immediately an interesting name.
So in school, I never did. In school, because Soren's a fun name to say too, people wouldn't give me a nickname. You're also very good at nicknames. You give a lot of people nicknames. I never got one, which is...
Because, no.
Yeah. It's Soren feels right. My dad and my brother, though. My dad used to, when I was a baby... called me, couldn't imagine me ever as an old man, and so he would call me old timer just for the ironic chuckle it would give him. And then
dad calls you old timer?
Yeah, and then that became just timer, and then it became he would just elaborate on it when we get on the phone or he'd come home from work. He'd go tip tap tupler timer. And then
I love that
my brother also started calling me timer, and for a long time I was just timer.
Did your brother have a nickname?
He did in school, but not at home. Well, Air. His name is Eric. But yeah. No, other than that, they wouldn't call him anything. He would just be either Air or Eric. But it's in high school, his name was Booty.
Booty?
I mean, I don't want to speculate on why his name was that. I hope it's because people were baffled by the fact that we pronounced our last name Booey, and then it was an obvious evolution from there.
Okay.
Did you have a nickname?
Not really. I
Big Dragon.
Yeah, no, my dad gave me a lot of nicknames, and my mom did too. Like growing up, my mom called me Roo, R-O-O.
Oh, Roo. Like from Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah. We don't know why.
Oh. So not like from Winnie the Pooh.
It's not from Winnie the Pooh. It was just like mama was like, this is Roo, Dan DeRoo. Kind of thing.
Okay.
And my dad called me Point Boy for a while because I had spiked up hair. And
that's a very dad thing to do.
Yeah. And separate from that, I tried to get one of the things that is consistent with me was trying to get insufferable nicknames to stick. Like freshman year of high school was like, call me the Daniel now.
Oh, no. Wait, no, you didn't.
Yeah, I did. I didn't believe it seriously. I thought the idea that someone wanted to force a nickname was very funny to me. And so I played that character, I guess. I don't know. I'm a fucking cartoon character of a human being.
I will say,
so it was like, I'm the Daniel now. And then after that, I was like, I'm Daniel 2000. And then at some point I was Big Dragon. These were all things that I was like, isn't it funny that a person would want this nickname ascribed to themselves?
Yes. And I,
that's been my life for 15 years.
Yeah, Big Dragon was a big part of Cracked, where you would
have packages sent to yourself
that would say
if you can line up a bunch of people and like one of them should be called Big Dragon in any lineup in the world, it will never be me. But the idea that I thought I should be called Big Dragon was very funny to me.
It is a good bit.
Yeah, it's a solid bit. And so
Dan,
I
came on to Cracked
a very long time.
I came on to Cracked, I think, mid Big Dragon, and mm-hmm. I didn't know that it was a facetious nickname.
Oh, you didn't?
No, I thought because you would come to work. You mentioned this before, but you would come to work like you'd bicycle to work or run to work sometimes, and you'd come like kind of sweaty in a cutoffs. And I thought mm-hmm. it was like you were. I honestly thought it was like a kind of intimidating. Like, cause you like worked out and came into the office. Like
you were
that.
Growing into the nickname.
I'm just learning this now that wasn't a genuine nickname.
In fact, I remember when you started doing it at our office, which was we would play volleyball sometimes. All of Demand Media would go to the beach and play volleyball after work.
That's what it's like working in California.
we would have to, because no one was good at this game yet. The ball would come onto one side of the court, and so everyone wouldn't run into each other. You'd say your name, and that meant like I've got it. And every single time, you would say Big Dragon, and it was a good bit. It would get a good laugh from everybody, and then it bled into the office where you had one of the early iPads, and whenever you would talk to Siri, she would call you Big Dragon.
Yep, it's very silly. It's very embarrassing. I still stand by it.
I had a nickname for you for a little while, but I didn't really feel great about it because it was really emasculating. And
was
mean.
It a little teacup?
It sure was. Yep.
Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember how it came up. I think there was an After Hours episode where we were deciding on what the animations would be. And we talked about a bunch of people sitting by a fire, toasting marshmallows, and then they became English automatically. And we're like, well, how do we distinguish that they're English? Well, they're all roasting teacups over the fire, except Dan's teacup is smaller for whatever reason, and I couldn't remember why. And then from there, I started calling you Little Teacup in response to Big Dragon.
Yeah, you wanted to make sure that Big Dragon didn't stick.
I was just undoing the adhesion every single time you tried to get that on.
Little Teacup did go for a while. It did work.
You are, I will say this about you, you're outstanding at figuring out what somebody's nickname should be and getting it to stick among a big group of people.
Yeah, it's such a bummer that I've never figured out a nickname for you, though. I think it's because Soren is such a good name. Like there's nothing better than Soren, honestly.
This would be a good episode for my parents to start listening to this podcast.
Like, I can't call you something cooler than Soren. Soren is a very cool name. It's a unique and cool name.
Yeah, but nicknames don't always have to be cool. They can be lateral moves or they can be downgrades. And I think people, even if it is a downgrade, it's not always mean. Sometimes it's like, it's joking and it's not evil spirit anyway. I don't know. Well, maybe we can hash one out. I like my name too. I agree that
right.
I think
do you,
it's a good name.
Do you want a nickname or
No, I don't feel left out that I never got one from you.
How does Bacon feel about his name?
Yeah, Bacon, tell us.
Because we worked together and I was trying to build a career and you guys just kept yelling Bacon all the time in like professional meetings. At me. And it started to stick. Dan is very good at it. And it started to stick around the office. And then I was in this like formal company-wide meeting where you guys weren't there. It was just like the part of the business heads. And then someone called me Bacon in the meeting. And I was like, well, this isn't going great for me long term.
It was, I don't think it was us that started it. It was a UPS man, I think.
Yeah, there was a UPS guy said he had like heard someone, they were delivering something for my birthday, and they had called me by my Twitter name, which is Dan very like eloquently says at the end of every episode. And they said bacon, and then the UPS guy got like very excited about it. And then Soren heard him calling me bacon, and then Soren went and told Dan, and then you guys never called me my name again, ever, in any professional capacity. And then other people started calling me bacon.
Okay. What do you, bacon, what do you prefer, by the way? I'm not going to change how I call you, but like, what do you actually prefer? Do you like
I've leaned in. Well, with you guys, honestly, I've leaned into bacon. Because I think
But like, what do you want?
Generally Michael, but...
That's never gonna happen.
Yeah, it's a hard pass.
Bacon wants us to call him Michael.
No, that's not insane. That's such a stupid thing to do. What else? What else?
I have a quick
question. Do you have any questions for me?
Yeah, I have a quick question for you.
Yeah.
You've had, I would say, a pretty successful career. You're right out of college. You started writing for a hit comedy website, and you became basically the voice of that site and helped shape it. And then from there, you moved on to a really popular and award-winning television show. You must get this question a lot, where people are like, "How? What was the process? How did you do it?" At any step, they're like, "Well, what? How did you make that transition?" And I'm wondering, are you, every time that question comes up, are you embarrassed a little that you don't deserve it?
Yep. 100%.
I think that that's, I think, and out, this is outside of that imposter syndrome. I think everybody who has had any modicum of success should be embarrassed that they got there, because everybody got there with luck. I don't know that there's anybody out there who's got a job and, I mean, they fought tooth and nail the entire time. Everyone was against them the entire time. They finally got it all by their own merits, and now they're there. There was always that little lightning strike of luck that helped along the way, and you feel embarrassed that that exists and that you were the were the benefactor of that luck.
It's tough. I feel like I've worked hard my entire life, but I've also been surrounded by people who've worked hard their entire lives, and I've been luckier than they have been. Every opportunity that I've had has been luck related. If I wanted to, if I wanted to build a narrative that was purely designed around a person who worked hard and did the best, I could do that. But I don't actually believe that's true. I think I've benefited every step of my career from someone else helping me out.
Yeah, I think I feel the same way. I certainly, with Cracked, people would be like, how did you get into Cracked? Or like, how do I get into Cracked? And I will tell them, oh, you start writing for the workshop. Once you start proving that you can write from the workshop without taking a lot of edits and you can pitch a lot of good ideas, then you become a columnist. And then once you're a columnist, you can become an editor and so on and so on. And like, okay, so is that what you did? And I'm like, no. I don't want to tell you my story because it's not the right way. And it was that I worked in the same office as everyone at Cracked, that I had small opportunities along the way and took advantage of those and opportunities that nobody else has, and then slowly got the job that way. So even though I could take advantage of those opportunities, they were still opportunities that were exclusive to me. And it's the same with where I work now. I mean, I got my job through nepotism, basically. I have friends
right, like, on the like show. Speak on how did you get hired at American Dad?
Yeah, so
talk about that, and then I'll talk about my thing.
Yeah, it makes my heart race a little to have somebody ask me that question, because it makes me feel like I don't deserve any of this. I don't deserve it. I got so lucky, and there are so many good writers out there who aren't getting jobs, and I am. And it was, I have a friend who I went to college with. We then did a lot of sketch comedy after college together. He rose to the ranks of American Dad, and when they were looking for a writer, he suggested me. He he told me they're looking. He said, have everything ready. Have it, your submission packet ready. Have a pilot ready. And did. And I submitted all of that. They liked it. And then I got hired. But off of his recommendation. They would not have even looked at mine, probably, if I didn't have his recommendation. I wasn't represented. I hadn't done any television. I had no television credits under my belt. And got hired.
But I would say the reason that he suggests you is because you had a lifetime under your belt of being a talented person and a good person to work with, right?
Yeah, I mean, he suggested me because he thought I would be good at the job. That's,
yeah, which is the work that you put in for like fucking 15 years or whatever.
Yeah, I still think, I mean, and I honestly, I think what I'm presenting is not, it's not something that's bad. I think it's good for everybody to feel a little embarrassed about how lucky they were to get where they are, because the people who don't have convinced themselves that it was all through hard work and that other people who don't have that job don't deserve it because they didn't work as hard, which is almost never the case, particularly in the arts.
Yeah.
How did how did you get to Last Week Tonight? Because you were actually, you came in cold.
Yeah, I'm very lucky and like tripped my way into this. Is that the, for anyone who is listening, who is a writer, who doesn't know too much about the industry, there are lists. There are lists for like The Daily Show and The Colbert Report, not The Colbert Report, but Colbert's Late Show and Corden's Show and Tonight Show and all of the shows, all of the late night shows, there are lists where when they need a writer, they will send out an email to this list and there's a packet attached to it. It was like, do this packet to try to get on this show. And the packets involve a lot of different things. Like if you're applying for the Tonight Show, it's like the packet involves 10 monologue jokes and some sketches and some new ideas for things that could exist on the Tonight Show. And for the Daily Show, the packet is write the first act of this show and write an idea for what could be a conversation piece type thing on this show.
It's frequently a lot more work than you would ever do in a week on the show.
It's a tremendous amount of work to do. And some writers are on the list. Whenever they need writers, they send these emails out to writers. I've been on that list. I've applied and failed at Daily Show and The Opposition and Colbert and many other shows and
Grace Parra show.
Yeah. Soren, you don't need to add more. You can just say many other. And I got the option to submit for Last Week Tonight, but I wasn't even on the list for that. Someone else was on the list for that and they submitted me for it. They said, I'm not going to try for the show, but you should look into Daniel. And
so you didn't just submit Colt. Somebody spoke on your behalf and said you should look at him.
Yeah. Ben Joseph, who like, honestly, I think we could both say Ben Joseph should be running comedy at this point.
Yeah.
Ben Joseph is like the smartest, best comedy writer I've ever met in my entire life. Who is like criminally not the best person in comedy right now. It's absurd.
Yeah, this is a guy who wrote an episode of The Simpsons. He wrote on a show called Me, Myself, and I that wasn't on for very long on broadcast television. He was on Wander Over Yonder.
Yeah. He's an incredible writer, and the best eye for talent that I've ever found in my entire life. Like, what year is it? Soren, what year is it?
2019.
Interesting. 11 years ago, Ben Joseph reached out to Jack and said, you should pay attention to this comedy troupe, Britannic. Brian McElhaney and Nick Kocher, two of the best comedy minds that we've come across in our entire lives.
Yeah, these are two guys who were on SNL, and they also did a movie with Joss Whedon and have done a number of other things.
Yeah. So Ben is great. Ben is the one who suggested that I submit to this show. And
well, he's got that eye for talent you talk so highly of.
Yeah, yeah. But like, if he didn't exist, I would not be on the radar for Last Week Tonight.
Yeah.
And I would not have this job.
Yeah, I think that that's...
It's purely luck of some other guy who was like, hey, look into this person.
I think about people who don't believe in that. I think the quintessential example of that would be somebody like Donald Trump, or somebody who thinks that they earned everything that they got along the way and are kind of disgusted by anyone who isn't on their level or has no time for anyone on their level, because if you're not on their level, it means you either aren't as talented or you didn't try as hard. Which is so baffling, because it's always no one has this. Whenever people are trying to break into the industry, it's like it's such a frustrating thing, because any of the stories you get from people have no tangible advice. It's always, oh, I just had kind of some things ready, and then I got very lucky. And yeah, it's
are you upset about it?
No, but I do get embarrassed every single time I have to answer that question. I did it cracked as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like you're so like undeniably talented. So it's.
That's very kind of you. I still I mean, Ben Joseph is somebody that's a great example of somebody who's very talented, and I'm not sure if he's currently working.
No, he's fine.
Anyway, that's something that's been on my mind lately.
Yeah, do you I mean, I feel like everyone who is in our industry and is successful feels like a fraud. That's like a general thing that we all feel. But do you feel like an extra fraud?
No, I think that this is separate. I agree with you that everybody thinks, and at any minute you could wake up one day and whatever talent you previously had, or your sense of comedy, or your sense of poetry or writing, that it's gone, because there's really no good metric for any of it. But this is something completely different, I think, that runs across every type of occupational success. I guess probably love too, where you have what other people kind of want, and they're like, how did you get that? And you have to explain, oh, I didn't deserve this. I guess I did some things right. I took advantage of opportunities, but I just got it.
It's crazy that you describe it that way, because I mean, I describe it that way, but I hate myself and I'm a piece of shit. You're a confident person.
I think it's everybody.
It's insane that you think that you don't deserve a thing.
That's very, very nice of you to say, I think.
No, it's not.
Well, do you have any questions for me, Dan?
I don't think I do at this point.
You told me at the beginning that you want to talk about garbage trucks.
Yeah. I think you should have a garbage truck question.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. I wanted to open the floor for Soren to talk about garbage trucks, because you had an amazing garbage truck moment.
Yeah. I'll tell my garbage truck story. So my son is obsessed with garbage trucks. He's gonna be 4 in September, and and all kids I know, they like big trucks, they like garbage trucks. There's just like something undeniable about them, those like big greasy noises that they make all the time, and how they're just like willingness to dive headfirst into the most disgusting trash. And he loves garbage trucks. He'll sit there on the couch and watch a YouTube channel that's just garbage trucks picking up trash. It's got no audio, there's no like musical track behind it or anything like that. It's just still footage of garbage trucks picking up garbage, and he'll sit there with a little trash can and mimic them, raising it up over his own head and pouring trash into the top of his head, basically.
Really?
Yeah, and then putting it back down. in sync with the garbage trucks on the TV. So he loves them a lot. And there's one in particular that he loves, which is Republic garbage trucks, because they're all over LA. They're these blue ones, and they're front loading dumpsters, which means they have those like that forklift in the front that picks up dumpsters and pours it in the back of the gross truck blowhole, or whatever you call the opening at the top of a truck. And he wanted a Toy Republic garbage truck, this blue one he was really into. And I saw in the right panel during these YouTube videos that there's the toy. There's like a guy doing the unboxing of one of those. And I was like, yes, no problem. This is where Dad can win. I'll get him one of these. And I thought, yeah, I'll get him one of these for his birthday. And so we were already talking about how he was going to get one for his birthday, but he had to be wait and be patient. And then as I started to look it up, I realized that it's these things do not exist. I think that they made some models. There's a company called First Gear that I think maybe made some models at one point, custom designed versions of this truck that are beautiful and cool, but there are maybe like 14 out there. And if you wanted to go on eBay, you could find something close, but it's not exactly right. They're like, they're not blue, they're gray, and they don't have the front loader. And they're about $300. And I was like, what?
$300?
Yeah, $300 on eBay.
That's a price of three good candles.
Fuck off.
And I thought, I spend that much on this toy. And also, it's not even the right fucking thing. He might just be pissed because at that age, they don't understand when you don't get the right thing. He doesn't know what $300 is. So I would just get mad at him for being mad about his toy. So I don't want to start that cycle. And so in my frustration, just happened to write on Twitter, man, this truck doesn't exist. I put up a picture of it and I was like, I honestly, it's a shame that First Gear ever even made these, because they've made my life hell because I can't find it. In doing so, a bunch of very well-meaning people reached out and they're like, what about this one? And I'm like, no, it's not the right one. You see, it's not blue. Or they're like, what about this one? I'm like, well, that's about the size of a Matchbox car. Also, it costs $300. And I just wanted to get the right thing for him, and I was realizing that wasn't going to happen. And so I'm trying to temper his expectations too. Like, I'm like, you're not getting the truck. What about this other one? Isn't this one cool? This nice big plastic one? And he was dogmatic. He was like, no, it's the Blue Republic one. And in that time, Republic Services, which is the trash company, the sanitation company, tweeted back at me. They found it. I didn't tag them or anything, but I guess they trove for their name, and they found that. And the social media person said, let me see what I can do. And I was like, that's the nicest thing I've ever seen a company do on here. They're never going to find one, but that's very sweet of them to think that they might, because they've got no affiliation.
Right, because like the toy obviously exists or it doesn't.
Right. They've got no necessarily affiliation with the company that's First Gear, because it's like, I don't know how it works. It's these die-cast models. It's clearly not toys for kids. They are all functioning. They have all the articulation and everything, but what they're making is basically something to sit on a shelf. And then the next day they reached out again. They said, I may or may not have the the First Gear front loading blue Republic trash truck on my desk. And I was like, you gotta be kidding me. So I texted with them and everything. And I was like, okay, yeah, I mean, send it to me. Please let me pay you for this. And she said, no, it's okay. It's on us. I had to go into my CEO's office and get it. So the CEO of Republic had this on his, exactly how it's supposed to be, presented, you know, on a bookshelf or whatever. She went in and took it and then mailed it to me. And so now I have the blue front-loading Republic trash truck with a little dumpster for free from the Twitter person, yeah, at Republic, and it's the CEO's truck.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it was wonderful. And he's gonna have no idea how much trouble I went to get this thing for years. But he'll still be psyched when he opens it and realizes it's the exact thing that he wanted. And I love that feeling of giving him the exact thing he wants.
That's truly incredible.
Yeah, so that was another thing, another area where I got very, very lucky, where I have enough of a following on Twitter that they found it, that then it happened and they gave me what I wanted and I just keep getting what sure. I want.
Sure. I mean, you're trying to tie this into the show, but it doesn't matter. It's fine. It's the end of the show now. Bacon, does Bacon have anything to fucking say?
No, we don't do ads, but that was a really good ad for
Republic Services. Republic.
I don't think they'll sponsor us because I don't know if there's a really like direct to consumer need for trash services nationally.
Yeah,
but
where's their branding
good.
Guy?
Yeah.
Okay, that's great. I need to track down all the social media accounts. While I'm doing that, Soren, you said you had a rap that was like in the style of Gangster's Paradise that you wanted to do about Colorado, and you wanted space to do that. So I'm gonna like, give you space to do that while I track down the social accounts.
Fuck you. All right. Yeah, I do. I've been waiting to perform this for a pretty long time now. This, thank you for giving me the space to do that and giving me a safe place in which to do that. Okay, here we go. We hit the mountains right around November. You were three then and too young to remember how we huddled round the fire in our blankets made of skin that we traded for some whiskey with a one-eyed Indian. He warned us against trying for the pass, but your foolhardy pops was trying to get there fast. We were making good time and everything was all right until a storm started hitting and we stopped for the night. One night turned into 18 weeks. Your sister got sick and we ran out of meat. It's funny what a family will do to survive. We rationed out your sister just to stay alive. Thanks everyone for listening.
Did the sister live?
No, man. Oh, no, we ate her.
He started humming what I thought was the wrong tune in the beginning. I was like, he doesn't know what Gangster's Paradise is.
No, I just don't know how to hum. I don't know. They do that little hum in the song.
Yeah,
and it's just...
yeah they do.
Guys, thank you so much. We have social accounts you can follow. It's on Twitter. You can follow me at @DOB_INC. You can follow Soren _... Nope. Soren _LTD. Guys, I'm having a real problem. I can't close the show.
That's fine. People have heard them all before.
That's good.
We don't know how to go to
Patreon. Shit. It's fine.
Yeah.
Go find us on Patreon and Google.
Patreon at Google. I think we probably say goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.